Okay, so this is Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Murray. I am the Executive Officer of the Master of Social Work program. I'm also one of the Deputy 73 Alpha consultants. And today I'm going to conduct an interview with Captain Tammy Vaca. And I'm going to let her introduce herself, let us know a little bit about who she is and where she is currently assigned here in just a second. And so with that, Captain Vaca, why don't you let us know where you're located, what position you currently are filling?
Yes, ma'am. So, yes, my name is Captain Tammy Vaca. I am currently stationed in Fort Hood, Texas. I am currently the commander of the 85th COS, which is the Combat Operational Stress Control. I am with 1st Medical Brigade. I was born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I am married, and I do have 4 children. I graduated from the Army Social Work Program in 2017, and I did my practicum in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
All right. Thank you for that brief introduction. So tell us a little bit, how long have you been an Army Social Work Officer, and then what made you interested in becoming an Army Social Work Officer?
So I have now just hit my 7th year mark as an Army social worker, or being in the Army as well. And my interest in social work came from just being a military spouse. For the last 20 years, I, you know, joined, basically I got, was very, very young, and just enjoyed Army, or my husband is actually in the Navy. And it wasn't until, gosh, when it picked up in Iraq, I believe that was, I can't remember the year, but my husband joined up with the Army. So, we were in round Army bases, goodness, for the last decade. So I started working with the Army really closely, and really enjoyed, you know, just the different experiences I had with the Army. And so when my husband got ready, it was about a year out before he got ready to retire, I really thought, you know, I want to go ahead and I want to join the military. And so I was already in pursuit of earning my master's in social work. So from the University of Washington, when we were at JBLM, and so I just decided to start just kind of Googling, seeing if there was anything available for social workers within the Army. And I found the MSW program. And I just decided just to, I really honestly did not think I was going to be accepted just because of, you know, the number of dependents I had and of course my age. And, sure enough, I was accepted. And so, I just wanted to continue working with soldiers, and I wanted to, you know, find out what it was really like. And so I wanted to wear the uniform. And here I am 7 years later.
That's awesome. Now, I guess one question from that came to mind for me is, did you consider social work in the Navy, given your husband's service in that branch? And if so, what made you ultimately decide on going Army instead?
So, yes. Yeah, so my husband, like I said, he's a CB. So he's never been on ships or anything. So we're more around Marines than anything. And it's just a different environment. The Army Navy is not very family friendly. They didn't have a lot of programs, you know, they just didn't have a lot back then. You know, this was back in like, goodness, before 2000. So it just didn't interest me. And so when I finally, he came on board and started deploying with the Army, there was just so many more, you know, resources, and I was able to get involved more. So I just became more intrigued with the Army. You know, I feel like I grew up with the Army versus kind of being shunned with the Navy/Marine Corps.
Got it. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, the next question I was going to ask you was really kind of about some of the perceptions you might have had about the military prior to joining. However, you know, in listening to your story, I can hear that you had been around the military a lot and were already part of the military family. So I want to spin off of that a little bit in that, you know, yes, you probably had perceptions and you knew things about the Army before you came in. Was there anything surprising to you that was maybe different than some of the perceptions or assumptions you might have had before you actually joined?
So the perceptions that I had, or even the assumptions, is I was really scared of the physical aspect of it. Like, was I actually going to be able to perform? You know, I knew the studies were going to be difficult, but, you know, I know with hard work, you know, I'd be able to overcome. But you know, making myself stronger. Like, for instance, push-ups. I could not do push-ups. So, you know, working with the recruiter, I was already trying to, back then it was still the APFT. And that was, I just really thought that was going to be really super hard. And I wasn't going to be able to do, you know, I was just going to be able to perform at that level. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, I do kind of, I miss the APFT versus now the ACFT. Yeah, it wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be. It was kind of, it was all in my head.
Got it. Yeah. So sometimes we think that the physical fitness aspect is going to be so unattainable. But it sounds like you've been able to kind of work toward goals and, probably like a lot of folks with persistence and consistency, you've been able to meet those standards.
And it does take work. I'm not going to say I definitely worked at it, and you have to continuously work at it. So yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. So along your journey of becoming a direct commissioned officer, who were some of those folks that were instrumental in helping you to achieve that goal of becoming a commissioned officer?
So I commissioned obviously out of Fort Sam, but I worked with a recruiter at when we were at JBLM, Lewis McChord base in Washington. And so I was able, you know, I was very closely, I worked there at JBLM. So I had a lot of military friends, a lot of support, you know, that were able to write my reference letters, and I was able to get advice. I'll get more into that with I see some of the other questions that are on here, so I can get more in depth there. But it was really from my family at JBLM that encouraged me and really helped me along my journey.
Good. It really takes a village, doesn't it?
It does. Yes. And that's one thing I do love about the military is it's a family. Like, you know, the civilian world, it takes years for people to become best friends or, you know, get to one knowing another. In the military, you do that within a month.
Yeah, absolutely. Out of necessity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So in joining the military, did you have any specific personal or professional goals that you wanted to accomplish while you were in uniform?
Yes. So I did want to earn my license in drug and alcohol. My goals are, you know, definitely to be an OIC of a prison. I do want to work in a prison. Also in a capacity of a clinic as well. And also a commander. So, you know, and then ultimately, my long-term goal is to earn my DSW. So out of that, I've been able to accomplish, I did earn my license in drug and alcohol, and I am currently a commander. So I'm slowly crossing off my goals checklist.
Yeah, that's great. It's awesome to hear that you've already seen success and been able to accomplish some of those goals, yet you have others that you are still working toward, helping to keep you motivated and having things to strive for in the future.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Okay. Now, what would you tell someone or what would your advice be to someone who might be considering, you know, coming into the military as an Army social work officer?
Oh, definitely. This is something I did, is getting in contact with an Army social worker. That is one of the biggest keys. I've had, even up to now that I've been at Fort Hood, local students that are in the surrounding universities here come and want to shadow me. Now, due to HIPAA and due to, you know, just the regulations here on post, I wasn't able to bring them into the clinics with me, but I was able to speak with them and, you know, give them some guidance as to what it is like as an Army social worker. So definitely link up with an active duty Army social worker.
And do you have any suggestions on how someone might get connected with an Army social worker if maybe they don't know one personally?
So, you know, because I didn't, you know, when I was at JBLM, I did not know. So I got in contact just with the chaplaincy, because they're easy to get in contact with, like just local chapel, and ask a chaplain, because a chaplain will know about a behavioral health officer. You know, an Army social worker. So that's what I did.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. I really like that. Okay. Now, this can be a tough transition. I imagine that your transition in some ways might have been a little easier only because of your pre-existing familiarity with the Army, and with the military life in general. But what tips or suggestions would you give to someone as they're in that process of joining and transitioning from civilian life to military life?
So one suggestion I would make, again, is getting in contact with an active duty, you know, service member. And it doesn't matter who it is. Just, you know, if they have a family, really understanding, sitting down with their family, because it's going to be difficult for their family, especially, you know, with their spouse, because, you know, you're going to move every 2 to 3 years. And, you know, most spouses, you know, want a career, and that's difficult to have. That's going to be extremely difficult to have, because you're going to move every 2 to 3 years. So really understanding what this is going to entail. I mean, for me, it was very easy because I had been doing it since I was, you know, 16. So it was very easy for me, but, and the fact that when my husband was getting ready to retire, I wanted to keep moving. So, for me to stay in one place for more than 3 years is devastating. So, but as a new person coming in with their family, it can be also very devastating because, you know, you have to literally pack up and move every 3 years. So sometimes you don't even get to get your pictures up on the wall because you're moving again. So really having that heart to heart conversation with the family member and what they're going to have to sacrifice as well. And so I would definitely, you know, whether you're single or not, just linking up with a military, family and help asking those questions. And I know most military families, if you reach out to them, I know you just, you know, being in the military for so long, they would be happy to help out.
Yeah, and I would think nowadays there's probably a lot of ways to do that online, right, with various Facebook groups or local, you know, ways to connect on social media with folks in specific areas so that, you know, potential applicants could ask about a specific location or just get some general advice in terms of military life. So I think there's a lot of ways to do that nowadays.
Absolutely. Correct. Yep. Just by posting a simple Facebook message, I'm sure a lot of people would reply.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Okay. So let's see. So then when you joined the military, you know, in those first 6 months, maybe that first year, what were some of the biggest challenges you faced? And obviously you've been successful. How did you overcome those challenges early on?
So my biggest challenges was just basically learning Army regulation. Just basic Army, the structure of the Army. I thought, oh, I'm going to be fine. That was something that, because hadn't been in the military, but I was a spouse, I didn't realize there's just, it was difficult for me. First off, I didn't know how to read regulation properly. It was like a different language to me. So understanding how to do that and how I overcame that is really asking a lot of questions. So really finding some good mentorship. So when I was in the program, at the time, I really, used my professors and, you know, my consultant even just to really help me. At that time, my assignment officer, she was really helpful. You know, just sometimes there were those dumb questions, but I honestly just didn't know. So just not being afraid to ask those questions. And also, like I said, seeking out mentorship, you know, early on, that was, you know, one of the biggest things that I did. And it was really, really helpful. But at the end of the day, they just told me right place, right time, right uniform. If you got that down, you'll be good. And so, I just had to overcome it, and it was okay, to be afraid. It's okay.
I love that. You know, no one learns every regulation overnight as soon as they put that uniform on. Right. And so really being able to kind of overcome some of that anxiety or some of that uncertainty to ask those questions, I think is really key. So I'm hearing from you, that would be some additional suggestions you might have someone coming in first right off the bat is digging into the regulation, asking questions about what the regulations say and how to make sense of them, as well as seeking out that mentorship.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Okay, so now you've been in for several years at this point, all the way through now to being a commander, which is awesome. You know, how would you describe sort of this experience over these last several years?
So it's been extremely overwhelming, at the same time, exciting. So, I mean, those are kind of like oxymorons in a sense, but it's just I just, the best way I can describe it's been the best experiences I've ever had. You know, sometimes I look back and some of my friends that I've had throughout the military, you know, being a spouse, you know, I'll look at them and, you know, their Facebook pages, and they'll be, you know, just retiring and on islands and, you know, just sitting back and just having a grand old time, you know, and I'm looking at myself and getting up at, you know, 5 o'clock or zero dark hundred to go PT. And sometimes I think, oh, did I make the right decision? But when I really look at all my experiences that I've had and will continue to have, there's no regret. There's absolutely no regret. So it has been exactly just so exciting.
And what do you think it is that keeps that, that excitement and just your motivation going on a daily basis?
Working with soldiers. There is, you know, I do believe it's a calling, because not everybody, it's not for everybody. But I love working with soldiers. I mean, that's in the capacity of it, in the clinic situation and just in the field. And now as a commander, it's the most extraordinary thing ever.
That's awesome. That will get you out of bed and get you going in the morning.
It does. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that kind of ties into the next question in some ways. You know, what are some of the unique things that you've experienced now as an Army social worker that you probably wouldn't experience if you were doing social work in the civilian sector?
Living with your patients. Literally, you're living, sleeping, eating with your patients. Because, you know, when you go either to the field, or I just came back from cadet summer training, which is one of the largest Army trainings, you know, that the Army has every year. You are in the barracks with them. You know, you're in the chow hall with them. You know, you're at the gym with them. Even here, you know, I'm here at First Med, you know, you're walking, because I mean, you're definitely, you spend more time with soldiers than you do with sometimes your families. You know, sometimes it can be poor boundaries, but it is what it is. So that is the very unique thing that as a civilian, I would never probably, other than the session time, I wouldn't see my patients. So it's, you get to see your patients in their environment. And so it's a very unique thing that a civilian social worker would not have.
Yeah, that's a great point. That definitely brings up memories for me of times in the deployed environment, right? Where you are absolutely with them day in and day out. So, okay. Thank you for that. All right. And, you know, you've talked about that motivation and working with soldiers. What is it that you enjoy most about being an Army officer?
Oh, just the different, I mean, I say taskings very carefully, and I want to use them very wisely, because you do get tasked out, not only your social worker, yes. So when I came in, I thought, well, I'm just going to do social work. But then I'm in a unique situation because I'm in a COS. So I have a lot of taskings. So as an Army officer, you know, do I like working in the motor pool? not especially, but it is unique, and it is another experience that I have. You know, that, you know, most clinicians that just stay in the hospital setting don't have. You know, I've, you know, running ranges, who would thought a social worker would run a range, different things like that, that, you know, do I call them enjoyable? You know, it's more of just a great experience, as an Army officer. There's just so much different exposure that you have, you know, just, you're basically essentially, you know, learn how to be a staff officer. As an Army officer. So it has just, you have your clinical setting where you're learning lots of different things, but now as an Army officer, you're also learning lots of things. Like, you know, I'm very interested in 7D hotels. Those are your operational officers, you know, learning how to write op orders and con ops and, you know, executing missions. I mean, those are those different things that can also be very, enjoyable because they're just different.
Yeah. So I'm hearing from you that you really enjoy the diversity of experiences, of skills that you've been able to acquire. And I always think about how, you know, you never have 2 days that are the same, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So I think you've really alluded to that. And that's also something, a lot of those experiences you just talked about are probably things that also, differentiate military social work from civilian social work.
Yes. Yeah. Very different.
Okay, through this process, you know, as we walk these journeys, we definitely do self-reflection. we learn about ourselves as we go through these different new experiences. So, you know, as you think back on these last several years, now that you've been a commissioned officer in the Army and a social work officer, you know, what have you learned about yourself?
So I had to really reflect on that because sometimes I'm just not good at that. Like I always talk about self-reflection. I'm like, So this one was probably my hardest question. So when I look at things, you know, one of them is just being able to overcome obstacles in new ways. And what I mean by that is just, you know, you're going to constantly hit obstacles. You're going to constantly, it just is a thing. It's just, I accepted it and, you know, I move on from it. But when I say new ways, sometimes there is not an answer. Sometimes, you know, it's not that you're going to overcome it, but you might just have to go around it. So, you know, as a civilian, I was used to like, we're going to solve everything. And I had everything just in a box. And I was just, you know, it's very much of a control freak. And now it's like I've been able to let go because every day there's an obstacle. Every day there's something. Every day they're going to throw something at me. And I've gotten better at just being able, well, it is what it is. You know, I've learned how to challenge myself. You know, again, that phrase, it's okay to be afraid. If you're not challenging yourself and you're not afraid, then you're not growing. I never thought in a million years I'd be able to do so many briefs in a day or sit in so many meetings. And, now it's like, I can do this. I'm, you know, am I still afraid? Absolutely. But I'm learning how that is working in my favor because I'm able to challenge myself more.
That's great. I mean, that sounds like a lot of growth. Like you said, without discomfort, we're not growing. And so, you know, it sounds like you've been pushed in a lot of different ways, but that ultimately it has led to growth, led to positive change, and just furthering skills in so many different areas for you over these last several years.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anything else that you would maybe want to share with our audience, either about your experience as a social work officer, any tips for those who might be considering taking this leap like you did several years ago, or just anything else you'd like to include today?
I think what I would say is, you know, because I've talked to many civilians and students and those that, you know, would like to pursue, you know, this program and or joining the military in general, is that, you know, it is a scary move. It absolutely is scary. But don't allow your fear to overcome you. It's normal to be afraid. It's normal to be like, just to step out into the unknown. But, you know, once you do it, you'll find out that you're not alone. Even I never knew really what it meant by the expression the Army has, embrace the suck. It sounds like a horrible phrase, but it really isn't. There's something to be said when you're out in the field and it's raining and you're drenched and your boots are soaked, and but yet you're out there with your counterpart. You're out there with your peers. You're out there with, you know, other soldiers. And it's, you know, I don't want to use the word enjoyable, but it's not bad. And so I say that even in the worst day, it's still, you're still out there with soldiers and, you know, you're out there together and you're, you know, just learning just new things and experiencing life in new ways. And so, if they're thinking about it, I always say, give it a try. You know, it's okay to be uncomfortable. In fact, that's what you're supposed to be. You know, a lot of people come in and they're not afraid and, you know, and then they find out, oh my goodness, what just happened? And I think that's the difference is, you know, they not allowing your fear to overcome you. You know, instead, like I said, you just give it a try and, you know, take every day. I do have my short and long-term goals, but every day I just, you know, is a new day for me. And I just kind of look at it at that perspective.
All right. Thank you for that. I think that is a great, kind of a great challenge, a great, perspective that you have shared with our potential applicants, those who might be considering following you in this journey. And we really appreciate you sharing your experiences, giving us some insights into how your story has unfolded as an Army social work officer. So thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. And I think that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, great. Thank you, ma'am.